Yeah, so I am going to be talking about dissolved organic carbon fluxes from rice watersheds as influenced by water management and land use. And before I get into this talk, I'd just like to recognize my authors, but in particular Monica Krupa. She's a graduate student that did a lot of this work and analysis out in the field, sampling a lot. She wasn't able to be here, so I just would like to recognize her. So why are we even interested in DOC coming off of rice fields, and why rice? Well, first, high DOC levels are seen in the Sacramento River, and as you can see by the graph on the right hand side there, these DOC levels, they range from 2 to a little over 10. There seems to be a seasonal type of pattern to that. But a lot of rivers have high DOC, and so, but the Sacramento River is a major source of drinking water for us here in California. In fact, if you're drinking water down here out of your tap, you're probably drinking water out of this area. In the picture below, that's the rice water, or that's the water intake for the city of Sacramento, where they pull off water off the Sacramento River and purify it for drinking water. The problem with DOC is that when you're in a chlorination process for cleaning a water, the chlorine reacts with the DOC and forms trihalomethanes, and these are fairly serious health concern. Trihalomethanes are carcinogenic. The drinking water places where they do this generally like to be below 3 or 4 part per million DOC. If it's above that, they have to do a pre-treatment to get the DOC levels lower. So there's a cost involved when DOC levels are high. Well, why is rice an issue with this? Well, the Sacramento Valley is home to about 200,000 hectares of rice. And if you look here, this is a map, the green areas, doesn't look that green here, but that's all rice area. It's the major crop in the Sacramento Valley. The Sacramento River flows down through here and into Sacramento. And rice requires very high water inputs. And the total inputs are around 10,000 cubic meters per hectare. 6,000 of that's roughly for ET. But 4,000 of that goes back into surface waters as runoff, and this eventually goes into the Sacramento River. And so we're going to be really focusing, that's the key, is that there's a tremendous amount, about a third of it runs off the field in a given season. So what's the purpose of this talk? It's really to identify factors that control the quantity and quality of DOC leaving these rice-dominated watersheds, with the intent to understand if we can manage that. We're going to be focusing in this talk again just on the quantity of DOC flux. The quality indicator we'll be looking at is the trihalomethane formation potential, the potential of DOC to form trihalomethanes when reacting with chlorine. This study also looked at other quality indicators of DOC, the various spectral slopes and SUVA aeromasticity. I'm not going to be discussing those, although occasionally you'll see reference to that maybe in my conclusions. The study area was in the GCID, the Glen Colusa Irrigation District. This is certainly the largest irrigation district in the Sacramento Valley. It's one of the largest in California. It's an irrigation that covers 65,000 hectares. And it's a fairly ideal study site. It's composed of 11 sub-watersheds within that district. These watersheds have unique inputs and unique outputs where water is measured. So the district measures that water, and so we're able to determine loads and the amounts of water going through these districts. It also tends to be dominated, the percent rice area within these varied from 42 to almost 100% rice. And if you look at this graph here, This is the Sacramento River coming down here. This is the supply canal, and these little black outlines is the various watersheds. And so water flows that way into this red, which is the Colusa Basin drain, and the Colusa Basin drain empties into the Sacramento River a little further south. So just to kind of give you a flavor for the type of data that we collected, this is just data. We just did it from May until October. This is the growing season. And this is just one of the watersheds that we looked at, and just focus on the top where we're looking at DOC and the trihalomethane formation potential and concentrations. This data, and what we see is that there's a, get this working. During this early part where it's really the onset of flooding, if you're not familiar with rice is a flooded crop, and in these systems they flood the fields and then they fly on rice seed. So initially there's this flooding, and then during this establishment period, there's a lot of water either going on or off the field for herbicide management and that type of thing. So there's a lot of water activity during this establishment period. And initially we see a spike in DOC, and following this through the season into this maintenance period. Maintenance is they keep water moving through the fields, but at a much lower rate, and it's draining off the fields. And then, so we see a decline in DOC over this period, followed by, again, another spike at the end when they drain the fields, and then that's then it levels off. So that's generally what we've seen. We've seen this in field level studies too. This is sort of integrating in any given district. They may be 200 or 300 or 400 fields. This integrates across those individual field studies. We see the same sorts of patterns. So to look at all of this data, we used a linear mixed effects model. We had a number of dependent variables. Again, I'm only going to be talking about the two, DOC flux and the trihalomethane flux. And the number of independent variables we looked at was really quite extensive. It had a lot of access to soil maps and land use data. But really, when you analyzed, again, I just want storm events, creek inputs. If you look in the winter, we have a Mediterranean climate here. It tends to be very dry in the summer, so very little effect of storm activity, or the creeks and were all dry during this period, so we didn't expect to see anything related to that. But during this time, really, it was governed by outflow expressed as the amount leaving per hectare of area, and time, and this is a Julian day. So as we saw in the previous slide, you saw that there did seem to be, in that one watershed, an effective time. It tended to decrease with some specific areas where it did tend to spike up. So that was significant across all of these others. Reuse of water, sometimes in these irrigation districts, they pump water back up to the top and reuse it. That was also important, but not for DOC or for your trihalomethanes. It really had to do with more of your aeromasticity, the nature of that DOC. And we're not going to be discussing that. So when you use these and you look at DOC flux, you see that these two, the day or the time and the outflow per hectare, really explain the amount of predicted DOC that we see based relative to what we observe. And again, there is an interaction between time and outflow, and this is just sort of illustrates that interaction, and it's again something we saw in that earlier thing. This is DOC flux per hectare versus your outflow, and this is early in the season where you tend to have higher levels of DOC. And as you progress down through the season, that the amount of DOC leaving tends to decrease. And if we look at seasonal output of the net load of DOC, which is this axis in kilograms per hectare, we see a range of -10 to upwards of 40 kilograms per hectare of DOC leaving these fields. And we see that it's very strongly related to, again, that outflow, how much water is flowing through these systems. And we see, if we look here, what we see is that these systems at low flow, when there's not a whole lot of water moving through, actually, they're not actually sinks, but they act like sinks for DOC. There's less DOC being exported from these systems than is actually coming in the relatively clean water going in. And if you remember back at that, in my earlier slide, this 4,000 cubic meters, that's roughly the amount, that's the average that flows through and off of a rice field. So if we can maintain the average, and that be our maximum, having growers go to that level of flow through is certainly not out of bounds. It's generally what they're doing, but you see that there are a number of either districts, and we see it with growers too, that will allow a lot of water to flow through their systems, and that's really where we're getting the bulk of the DOC coming in. So, but it's encouraging, I think, for growers to see that with just tightening up a little bit on their water management, it would be very easy to control the DOC outputs. Shifting a little bit to our trihalomethane formation potential, we used the UV 254 or the ultraviolet at that wavelength to determine how much trihalomethanes we had, and there is a very good relationship. And this is we're not unique in this. Many others do this. They use that. Determining your trihalomethane formation potential is a costly analysis, roughly about $100 a pop. So we developed a relationship. This was using samples throughout the season to develop that relationship. And so there wasn't a change in your DOC quality related to trihalomethanes through the season. That remained fairly constant, and we were able to determine it with a simple UV measurement. And again, what we using those same things, again, there isn't an interaction here, but again, day or the time of year and outflow per hectare really drove the amount of the trihalomethane potential flux out of these fields. So in my closing slide, implications, perhaps conclusions, most of the DOC and the aromatic DOC, which we haven't really talked about, is released at the onset of flooding and at draining, so at the beginning and the end of the season. Lowering outflow reduces the amount of DOC leaving rice fields. The amount of highly aromatic DOC, it also reduces that. Again, we didn't really discuss that. And these DOC results are confirmed by another study. It's a postdoc out of our lab, looked at a number of other studies over a couple years just from fields. The same general patterns of managing water at a field scale versus a more regional scale applies. And reuse causes actually an increase in aeromasticity. Again, we didn't really get into that, but there is a bit of a consequence of reusing water in terms of that. And with that, I'd like to thank you and just recognize a lot of the very good help that we got from the Irrigation District and a lot of people in the lab. Thank you.
Questions?
So, in your one graph you showed where it was based about the seasonal data, you showed that the trihalomethane potential, it seemed like it was, at least on that graph during the flooding period, it was actually the potential was actually increasing before the actual DOC was increasing. Why would that be?
As I talked to Monica about that, that's a mistake in the graph. It was, I think, tracking. She wanted to separate it out in the graph. Those were the same sample. It just overlapped, so we weren't able to see it. Track, it was almost identical on it, so she shifted
it. So it was just a scale.
That was a scaling,
yeah. Yeah.
So. That's
okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.